Backseat Producers, episode number 286, Face Off. Hey everybody, this is Tony. I just wanted to let you know that this is another guitar cast. If this is your first time listening, this is a little bit different than a normal episode, but we hope you stick around and enjoy it anyway. In this episode, Adam and I are talking about the movie Face Off while we are noodling on our guitars. There are three different copies of this episode that are going to be in the feed. One of them will be released exactly how we recorded it, which is one channel on the right side and one channel on the left side. One of them is our voices. The other is our guitars. A second version of this podcast is going to be all of that blended into both ears so that you just can listen in one earbud and hear both of those things overlapped. I'll try and do that in such a way that the music is lower than the talking so that you can still hear us talking over the guitars. And finally, there is a third version where all of that is cut and the music is cut. We just do the talking. You'll still hear Adam's guitar because even an electric guitar, you do hear the plucking of the strings, and he holds that guitar right in front of him, right next to the mic. So you will still hear that sometimes. I'm going to try and cut out a lot of the extraneous guitar parts because there are a few points in the conversation where we stop talking for a few minutes and just play. So, you may hear some guitar strings in the background. I may leave some of that in because this is also a longer episode, at least the way we originally recorded it. All that said, this version that you're listening to right now is the original recording. It has our voices in one track and the guitars in a second track. If you'd like, there are two other versions. If this one isn't to your liking, give one of those a try. We will be back with a regular episode next week. Hey, this is Tony.
This is David.
We're the Backseat Producers, and we are screwing around with our guitars.
Yeah, that's what we do.
It is. It's happening more. Mostly when Daryl doesn't show up.
Mostly when Daryl doesn't show up. Although one day we should do it when he does show up. He'll be so pissed. So.
We didn't pick out anything for next week, did we?
No.
A more?
Yes.
Might as well. It's out.
Yeah, now it's available.
It's available.
So I watched the preview because I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Other than it was nominated.
I knew a little bit about it.
And the preview looks pretty good. Like, I thought it was going to be, you know, creepy French romance, but it looks like creepy French coming of age when you're really old.
Coming of old age.
Yes, if that is a thing. Coming in geriatrics.
Ooh, that's fine with me. I'll just let Darren know.
So, I looked through the... It's been a while since we've been home with Gen Con and work and all this stuff. So I was looking through the Apple TV just released stuff, and there's a ton of indie movies on there that look great. Have you seen that movie?
Any examples?
It's on Netflix, too. Like, I saw it on Netflix, but Netflix doesn't give you a trailer option. It's got David Cross, and it's like... Like, he starts dating this girl, and so he goes out to a brunch over at her friend's house. And then while he's there, and it's really awkward, they find out that the world is ending. We're probably all gonna die.
That doesn't sound like a good way for a date to go.
Or is it?
Maybe. Man, you get out of that quick.
Yeah. Man, why can't I not remember what the name of this is? I'm going to have to look it up.
David Cross.
It's a disaster.
That's the name of it?
That's the name of it.
Adding to my list.
I haven't watched it yet, so it's terrible. Really terrible. What are you going to talk about tonight?
Face Off.
By the way, this entire week I've been doing nothing but making face-off jokes.
So Melina's, that's not hard to do.
Yeah, so Melina's on this weight loss kick. So she's like, oh, you know, I've been working out, and I've been exercising, I've been eating right. I've lost like 10 pounds, but, you know, that's just the beginning. So what you're telling me is you're taking the weight
of your face. Yeah.
It's the worst. Like, just nonstop.
You're the worst.
I'm not the worst. Yeah, I'm kind of the worst.
Oh, wait, there it is. Sorry, I can hear it now. I can hear it again. I probably just blew out everybody's ears with jacking around with the buttons.
I can hear it doing my scales poorly.
I should probably learn to do something like that instead of just learning a couple of songs.
I learned enough of it to get past the... So the way that my teacher's like, so, like, he was, like, in plateaus and leaps. Like, so we work on something for a while, then I don't get better at it until I progress to the point where it's, all right, we're done with this, and then we go on to something interesting. So I learned enough of this to get past that. We sounded good on Sunday.
I think we did. I think we did really good on Sunday. Don't tell him this, but I think Eric was like surprisingly good for just like joining. But has he played keyboard before?
No, he's played before. Okay. So
I thought so.
That's
like he was really comfortable behind the keyboard.
Yes. And if you get past all the all right, guys, I'm now getting good, so, you know. Yeah. All right. Clearly you haven't heard the rest of us play. All right, so don't worry.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's almost a little bit insulting. Like, I'm not going to be any good. It's like, oh, you're better than all of us. Hey, why don't you just play the bass line?
Yeah.
I'll go sit down now.
Hey, you want this pick in your eye? Because I bought a 20-pack, so I got picks to spare. So... Yeah, and I also like that he can read music, which is a help, because the first time we practiced, I was like, man, the timing of the song feels really weird to me. Like, it does not seem right. And then midway through Bad Moon Rising, he's like, Luke, you're not keeping the time right. I knew it! Damn it, I knew it! I knew it was weird in the middle.
Yeah, Luke gets bored.
I know he does.
He does. Because there's certain songs like Bad Moon that you just have to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And
I'm aware.
Gets bored.
Yeah. Yeah, when he gets bored, then he starts playing faster and slower. All right.
Yeah, he does that thing where he gets halfway through a song that we're trying to do slow, and he goes faster than normal speed.
Yeah, so that was... having Paul sing was good.
Yes, it was.
Revealed a lot of the, oh, that's a problem.
It helps just knowing when to change up.
Yes. Well, I just meant for me singing. Like, watching him sing and then seeing the problems.
You know what Eric was doing that really helped me? He was playing a vocal line.
Yes.
When he was playing the keyboard. He was playing a vocal line. And, man, I could keep up so much better when he was doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's how you know the song.
Yeah. It's like I know it by the words. It's like, oh, wait, here comes the chorus. Now I need to switch. Yeah. That was good.
There were a couple times I was like, oh, Eric's doing something different. That means I'm in the wrong here.
Well, and then my chord was jacked up for a while, and then I was just listening to yours, the mic, and Eric's through the headphones. I was like, I'm playing. It was like, I didn't make that mistake. Just, oh.
That was somebody else.
And there were times where, hey, I just made a mistake there. Oh.
Yeah, well, once you get you plugged into the amp, it was good.
Yeah.
It was a lot of...
This is going to work better because this chord actually works.
Things that work work better.
The things that work do work better.
Folks, you learned this on Backseat Producers. If you want to kick in some money to Sausage Fest,
that's right.
For the knowledge transfer.
Things. Pro tip. Just the tip. Things that work work better with Sausage Fest.
By the way, if you haven't donated to Sausage Fest,
and you love you the are among stylings, all but four people in the whole world.
Yeah.
Because we have four donations now. We're almost $200. So, not bad. Not bad at all.
Not bad, especially since the donation started during Gen Con and right after payday, when I already spent all of my money.
Yeah, I did start it kind of at a bad time for a few of our high dollar numbers. Gen Con being the name of that bad time. But I figured get it out there and pimp it early.
Yeah. Who knew Sausage Fest likes to hang out there?
I knew that Sausage Fest just likes to hang out there and fester.
When I showed up, Holden's like, hey, close your eyes, I'm going to show you something. And I was like, every time I do this at a convention, I get an ass in the face.
Or if Rob Justice is there, balls.
Or balls in the face. So I was like, I know where this goes. And I'm the one doing it, but Holden's not old enough for that yet. It's pretty safe. It's cool he's picking up an instrument, though.
It was a little bit of a push to get him to do it, because he has to get up earlier for school, because it's before school. But it's like, all right, the difference is now, when I come into your room at 7 o'clock and kick your bed, you actually need to get up out of bed. Because really, we leave at the same time, he just now has to eat breakfast before he goes, because normally he eats breakfast at school. He just has to eat before now.
Yeah, I was always that guy who got to school like an hour early.
Well, fifth grade, it's kind of limited how early you can get there.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was always, I didn't do my homework, so.
Well, he goes to aftercare, so he gets his homework there most of the time, so, yeah.
That works like out well for you.
Yeah, he comes home and homework's done. If you listen to the song through headphones, there is distinctly a single note.
Tony.
Turns out it comes from the bass, looking at some of the bass lines.
Tony, you can start the song if you want.
Let's go, right here. All right.
All right, it's on.
That's it. That's the beginning. Thank you. Yeah, after Sunday. It's like I was full load off.
I thought she cracked the neck, and she's like, "No, just the string's broken." I'm like, "Ah, you know, the sound of snapping strings and splintering wood is not close enough that it's like, oh, it could have been one or the other."
That sounds right now.
It does sound right.
It's crazy. It's like I don't know many notes, but I know the notes of this song, and I know they're not right.
You have a lot of frets on there, Tommy.
I do have a lot of frets on here. I only use a couple at this point. So this one way down here.
You actually use that one?
Just for that.
Do bass guitars do and harmonics too? Like if you... I can't do it. There's a thing that can happen.
That's all I can do.
There's a thing that can happen. It sounds cool, but I can't apparently do it.
Looks like, bend those notes. Like, you fucking bend these notes. Have you seen the size of these strings? Jesus Christ. Alright, so, face off.
Face off. Tony, I legitimately like this movie.
Did you watch it? Rewatch it for this?
Tony, I watch it probably once a month.
Okay. I figured you quote it fairly regularly.
It's so ridiculous.
It is.
And there's so many, like, weird, like, actors in it. Like, Margaret Cho is in it.
Yeah.
And the chick from Battlestar Galact, like, the black Oracle lady is in it.
The dude that played on Desperate Housewives is in it. Mike from Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Hey.
There's some weirdness in it. Man, it is a product of its time, too. When the edgy girl comes out, when his daughter comes out, she just has really screwed up eye makeup. It's like, ooh, that's edgy. Wait a minute, her nose was pierced too, wasn't it?
It was, and she was just in those panties. That was a weird scene, because I was like, I wonder how old this chick is in this scene. Is this okay?
But how old were you when you saw it? So,
how do you think it works that way?
It works that way with me and Jennifer Connelly, because we're the same age.
Yeah, but if you go back and watch something where she's like 12 and now...
I watched it when I was 12.
I know, but you go back now and you watch it when she's 12.
That's weird.
That's like...
It wasn't weird then.
Me and Michelle Trachtenberg were at the same age, and she was in Harry the Spy. But if I went back and watched Harry the Spy, I think the whole thing would be okay.
Probably.
The Chloe Moretz thing is okay, though.
That's totally creepy.
I don't care how old she is.
You know, if only we had a way to find out who this actor was and how old they are.
Wait, what actor?
The daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So, he was Sean Archer. Joan Allen's Archer. She was Jamie Archer. Dominique Swain. She would have been
17.
Damn it.
So this movie came out in 97. She's older than you are.
What?
This movie came out in 97. And she was, yeah, August 12th, 1980. She's older than you.
Yeah, she is older than me. What, has she done anything recently?
Yes.
Big Bang Theory is older.
No. She's, it looks like she's worked fairly consistently. Her first movie was Face Off. Her second movie was Lolita. The Jeremy Irons Lolita. She was Lolita.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'd probably watch that. Even though the whole book and movie concept is kind of creepy and not okay.
But, I mean, she's got pretty solid filmography here, including like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 movies either in announced pre-production, currently filming, or post-production. Yeah.
Hardest working nobody in Hollywood.
Yeah, no kidding. She was in a video, Nazis at the Center of the Earth. Stuntman, Nightfall, Keepers, Noble Thing, Stiletto, Toxic, Fall Down Dead, White Air, Pacific and Eddie, All In, Alpha Dog. Is it Alpha Dog, that one with JT in it?
JT?
Yeah.
Alpha Dog. None of these things sound
familiar. Justin Timberlake.
None of these things sound familiar to me at all.
Nick Cassavetes.
You could just as easily be making all of this up, and I could not tell you the difference.
I recognize the name
Alpha Dog.
A drama based on the life of Jesse James Hollywood, a drug dealer who became one of the youngest men ever to be on the FBI's most wanted list.
Oh, Bruce Willis? 6.8, though. That says Matt Berry. Oh, that's not the right Matt Berry. Ah, Vincent Kartheiser. No. Vincent Kartheiser is not okay, by the way. He was the guy who played...
So that's what she looks like now-ish.
I see that. I approve.
Yeah. She looks good as a red.
So Face Off is one of the most ridiculous movies I've ever seen.
Oh my god. How could anybody have watched this movie and expected the Ang Lee Hulk to be anything other than exactly what it was? Ang Lee made this movie. He also made the first Hulk movie. Right, the expectation should have been set there.
See, but here's the thing. Like, I could walk away from this movie, and I think I kind of wanted to.
And it was only 6 years later.
It was kind of the same movie.
Oh, yeah.
That scene with the dogs is just...
But it has Jennifer Connelly in it.
It does have Jennifer Connelly in it. That doesn't make it better.
That does. She makes everything better.
I could walk away from this movie and see it as like a parody of action movies, but I don't think that's what it's supposed to be.
I don't think it's supposed to be either.
But it's too ridiculous from a brain to think that it's an actual movie. Like, I feel like Nicolas Cage and what's-his-face?
John Travolta.
John Travolta were, like, in on some joke. Like, let's make this movie. Like, they got together one night and they got drunk. And, like, they sketched out the outline of this movie in a bar napkin and then woke up the next day and they both had sealed envelopes and all it said on the outside is, make Face Off, and then you can open this envelope.
That very well could be. You know, what's funny is, like, the level of intensity that scene where the face actually comes off and gets transplanted. It, like, they shot it. It's so well shot. And
it's
like
meticulously shot.
It's like you see just bits and pieces of things. You see that the bloody face for just fractions of a second. I mean, it's like you want to see more, but you don't want to see more. It's just the perfect amount.
I'll tell you, the movie doesn't work if the face off isn't right.
No, it doesn't. The movie doesn't really work. But that worked.
So, let's talk about what everybody here is thinking about. How ridiculous was Nicolas Cage in this movie?
Both of them were pretty ridiculous. So, had been a long, long time since I'd seen the movie. I mean, a long time. So
well,
I watched
that's your
it.
Fault.
But, yeah, fair enough. So the first scene we see John Travolta in, with the exception of his son being shot, he's in the office and he like comes in acting like a crazy man, and it's like, oh, I don't remember this. Maybe this is how they're getting away with it, having him act like Nicolas Cage at the beginning, so that when he goes into the Nicolas Cage body, his manic actions are just how Nicolas Cage acts anyway. So the bulk of the acting is done in that manic Nicolas Cage style when Sean Archer is in that body. Except that's not how it happened.
I kind of feel like what happened was
both of those characters were all over the goddamn place as far as their actions
went. I kind of feel like what happened was obviously it's not shot in order. So, like, they would shoot the dailies or whatever, and then whoever went that day would see the other guy's work, and he's like, ugh, I gotta up this ante. And then the movie is a series of escalations, like, how?
But shot out of order, so it's really confusing.
Yeah, unless you know this production order, or like, it makes complete total escalation sense if you can see the order, but you have no idea, so like, that seemed like
about
the scene
escalation.
The scene with the kids kind of normal, but then like Nicolas Cage after he plants the bomb and he's in the choir, like the priest outfit.
Oh my god!
What is going? Like that has to be one of the last scenes. What is happening here?
And they're just like, we need you to be in this room at the time. What do I need to do? Just hang out. And I want to feel like they didn't give Nicolas Cage any direction. And just follow him around the camera.
Just be in character.
Yeah. don't even be in character. Be yourself.
The gunfight in the beginning is so ridiculous, too.
Oh my god.
Tony, there has to be a jet engine.
Not just get
just destroyed,
burned to a crisp, and then just mashed into pulp between those two things.
Bob Dylan syndrome, where like, this is mostly what she's doing,
But then you got to mix it up every once in a while.
Yeah, but you, like sometimes you do different things, like put a different string. So it's going to be real hard to remember that. Ugh. But if you mess up, it's not like anybody's going to know. Ugh. I need a more meticulous set of guidelines than that. Do people actually do that?
I don't know.
In a whole new genre of music. You should do that with Holden's trumpet.
Yeah. It'd be the most unique sound ever heard.
String brass. Go.
He'll just stand in front. No, what we do is we set up an extra guitar. And we'll do it like Jackal using the chainsaw to play the guitar. Mm-hmm. So you set up a guitar with like a loose string set, so it's not just like super tight.
Right.
And then just have him blow the horn straight at the guitar to vibrate the strings. And then have somebody, you know, doing the fretwork while he's doing that. I volunteered Luke.
Yeah, so he was going to do that earlier. He tried to do that earlier on my guitar. I like where you're going with this. I think this is one a little too tight for that. Here's the thing. In 20 years, he's going to invent a whole new style of music.
Probably.
And then he's going to show me.
Yeah.
he's going to have, like, this is his ringtone, and he's going to come over, and he's going to have, like, all those people. Remember when you said that you can't do that?
Guess what, asshole?
Yeah. Yeah, I own Alaska. Deal with it.
Yeah, it's like, I was telling this story earlier. I talked to my mom today, and I was like, yeah, so, you haven't seen this yet, but we signed Holden up for the band. Oh, that's great. It's like, yeah, he's gonna be on the trumpet. We signed the paperwork to do the rent-to-own, and signed him up for class, and all that good stuff. It's like, yeah, it's there's some cost to it, but we don't talk to him. So, you know what?
If
you're committed to it, we're fine with it. I don't care about paying the money unless I pay the money and you decide 3 days from now that you have no interest in it without even moving to a class. That's
something to me.
But if you're, you know, if you're going to commit to it, all you have to do is give it to the center. That's the only commitment we have to make, is a 3-day commitment. That's fine. Let's do that. My mom was like, oh, that's great. Nobody else in the family has ever done anything with music. Nobody's been musically inclined before. I'm like, hey, what the hell? Well, yeah, it took you till you were 42 to actually do anything about it.
All right, that's fair.
What? Not like I was given a choice. They wouldn't, like in my school, grade school, they're like, try out for the band. It's like, well, how do you try out? You have to sit in a room and listen to tones on a machine. And if you had a good enough, if you like rated a high enough tone, like tone recognition, then you could join the band.
Let this go on.
Yeah, that was the squirreliest thing. And I'm like, I was like 9, so I'm like, oh, hey, if you say so, I might have been 10. But either way, it was like, hey, if you know, that's the rules. Okay.
Yeah, you know,
I don't know any better. It's dumb. It's 10. So,
that's crazy. I played trombone in grade school and piano. I wasn't very good either. I wish I would have picked up guitar then.
Yeah.
That'd be incredible.
I might still own a guitar. It might be amazing. I might have sold it to the art center. I had a guitar for a while that I bought from our roommate in college. Never really learned how to play.
Lena bought this for me 6 years ago because I'm like, man, I want a guitar. I want to learn how to play guitar. So 6 years later, like, oh, about to turn 30. Gotta do something. Gotta do something.
I think my picking up the bass was mostly because I had always had in the back of my mind I wanted to learn an instrument. Always. I thought for a long time about doing piano. Big fan of Billy Joel.
Yeah, the thing with the piano is that you can't take it anywhere.
Right. Yeah, like, those things are goddamn huge.
Like Eric's keyboard? That thing's a pain in the ass to transport.
That thing's still huge.
It's massive. Look, he's like two trips for it and the stand.
Yeah. But so you're like, I'm gonna do guitar. I was like, this might be my opportunity to, you know, have some motivation, like a workout buddy, you know, have somebody to kind of go with the same pace. Arguably, not arguably, you are far more committed to it than I am.
It's only because
I can keep my pace on the bass, though.
That is true.
Granted, there's not much to this.
There's a lot more work in this. Actually, the pacing actually works out pretty well.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Because I'm gonna have to commit a lot more doing Carry On and Renegade. Which, spoiler for those who are listening at home, those are our two new songs.
You're hearing that a lot
too. Yeah.
Better hope Daryl doesn't stop showing up.
Yeah, otherwise you're gonna hear the full progression of us learning how to play Carry On, Wayward Son.
This song is like 7 minutes long.
It's a long song. That's what, you know what? At first I was kind of intimidated by the speed of Bad Moon Rising. It's a fast one too. But short. It has a short song.
Yeah, it is a short song. It's also pretty simple in terms of repetition. Like, there's only really two changes for me. And it mirrors the vocals. So there's not much.
Yeah.
Mirroring the vocals real easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, once we had the vocals going, because I was having a hard time, I was losing my place with Bad Moon Rising. Because there's, I mean, my part in Bad Moon Rising is. I do this. If I lose my count there, though, I get off. The thing is I figured out exactly where my count should be in relation to the lyrics. So, like, whenever a lyric line starts, I'm on the third go round of this, then I break into this, and by the time the lyric line is ending up, I'm ending there. So I kind of figured that out. I figured that out with the last practice, and it worked out really well. So I didn't get lost. When we broke into the chorus, I was right in there with the chorus.
I got lost.
I was doing it. I was getting pretty good. The chorus is... Yes. Yeah, it really does help. All right, so back to Face Off.
It's hard to talk about this movie because it's so goddamn ridiculous.
It is. It's ridiculous on every level. Like, every part of it is ridiculous. And I think that's what makes it work. There's not a part of it where you look at it and say, oh, that makes sense. Never does that happen in the whole movie.
Tony, they go to a prison... That's not only the floor is all magnets.
that was the most ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
It's also in international waters and is an oil rig. Why does this place exist?
And why was it so poorly lit?
Yeah. And who funded this place? Like, what is this place? The guy's
we're going to do this super secret operation that nobody knows about. Yeah. We're going to put you there. How am I going to get out? We don't ever explain how we ever intend on getting you out. Because nobody knows that you are who you are, including any of the guards, anybody working at the facility, anybody who you work with.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
All right, so he's in this super secret facility that no one gets into or out of. What is the danger of the information getting out then? Where is it gonna go?
Yeah, exactly.
It's gonna go nowhere. Also, why are we not properly sedating people?
Yes.
I kind of feel like when you take a man's face off...
Even if they're in a coma.
That you would... Or maybe somebody would monitor that somewhat closely.
The reveal, him waking up and pulling the bandages off and everything, you would have reminded me of, thematically, and like the way the scene was composed and revealed and everything, Nicholson waking up as the Joker after the surgery. The only difference was at the end, instead of him touching it and coming off with the blood, you had Nicholson doing the Joker laugh. When he pulled up the mirror and did the Joker laugh.
Speaking of the Joker laugh, just that goddamn vine with Mark Hamill and Kerry Strong.
Tara Strong?
Yeah, Tara Strong.
I heard about it, but I didn't actually see
like
it.
She's sitting on, like, live action. She's sitting on his lap, and he does the Joker voice, and she does the Haley voice Harley voice. It's so awesome.
Wow. I saw the picture, but I didn't know it was a vine.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Because you look at goddamn Luke Skywalker, and the Joker voice is
old Luke Skywalker. Yeah.
The old Luke Skywalker. I would be okay if he was in the next movie.
I think it's fitting.
Like, if they do a kind of pass the torch thing, like the... Did you play the Jedi Knight games?
The Knights of the Old Republic. I played Knights of the Old Republic. I didn't play Jedi Knight
games. Jedi Knight, like, so it started with Dark Forces, where it was just like the Star Wars shooter.
Okay.
So you play like Kyle Katarn. So the first mission in Dark Forces is you're stealing the Death Star plans.
Okay.
And then you hand them to Princess Leia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's a cool tie-in, but you're never actually interacting with the plot anymore.
Right.
So that was cool. So the ultimate evolution is that, like, the next game was Jedi Knight, where that guy finds out, hey, I'm a Jedi. And so after the events of Episode 6, Luke rebuilds the Jedi Order. Like, he goes off and founds a temple, and he starts rebuilding.
We actually read some of the novels. They had some young adult novels that were
those stories. Like, that's actually kind of a cool storyline, and you can still use Mark Hamill for that.
Yeah, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, especially if you shoot it in the same, like, physical style of the originals.
The originals,
yeah. Where the Jedi weren't, like, these weird acrobats. Like, Obi-Wan Kenobi was not jumping around in the originals.
No,
he was still a badass.
There's no reason for them to do that. Because, like, he would have had to have been trained to do that. One would assume.
The Force trains me. Tony, it's my ally.
We're playing the same songs.
Are we? So I don't know what song I'm playing. But yeah, I'd be fine. Man, why can we not talk about this movie?
What is there to talk about?
There's, I don't know. He has golden guns and the doves in that final fight scene.
Well, that's an Ang Lee thing. He has doves in his movies.
I thought that was the other guy, the action guy, John Woo.
John Woo. Is this John Woo?
I think this was a John Woo movie.
Fuck, maybe I'm wrong about all this.
God damn it. Somebody's been listening to this for like 10 minutes. And they
like
are so
screaming
pissed.
At the...
Yeah, they're so pissed that, one, they're listening. Two...
Why are they so wrong about this?
Off.
Well, Jesus. If it's a John Woo movie, man.
Director, John Woo.
John Woo, yep.
I'm getting text messages from people.
Who aren't even listening. It's Chun Woo, assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, CCH Pounder, isn't it?
CCH Mrs. Frederick from Warehouse 13.
Man, you know who she needs to be? If they get anybody else, I'm going to be so pissed. She needs to be Amanda Waller in the DC. If they do the whole DC movie universe, she needs to be Amanda Waller. I heads up Suicide Squad. She puts together Suicide Squad. She's a badass. Yeah, Gina Gershon. It was Sasha.
Oh, yeah, she was hot.
She got, like, Joker mouth at some point.
Yeah, but she was... Yeah, something happened there.
Yeah, that was a bad surgery, I think.
She got Joker mouth.
Well, her and... what's her name? Mary Tyler Moore. She's got damn Joker mouth, too.
Mary Tyler Moore. That sounds like a person... I know who Mary Tyler Moore is.
What did Pollux ever do?
I don't know.
Wow.
What did he do?
Jurassic Park 3.
No, Tony. Don't be that guy. Did he really?
Inventing the Abbotts, Face Off.
Oh my god, Tom Jane was in this.
Wow.
This is what I'm saying. There's just like some weird group of celebrities who are in this movie.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of these old movies, you'll see people and like, oh, I didn't realize he was that. Man, this one is just so random. There's Thomas Jane.
what is going on? Oh, Tony. You know what
I'm saying? Oh, and Danny Masterson. I recognized him.
Danny Masterson?
He was in that 70s show. He was Hyde in that
70s show. Oh.
That was the boyfriend?
Yeah.
The boyfriend that gets pulled out through the window?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see his face real well, but I recognized him when...
Colm Feore?
Who's that?
He was the doctor. That dude's in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That dude's in all sorts of stuff. Man, Pollux does not look like anything like he did in the movie. Jurassic Park 3. The Eye. I gotta get off that guy. I can't look at that anymore. The studio wanted John Woo to take the slash out of the title, but he kept it in so people wouldn't think it was a hockey movie. No one thought this was a hockey
movie. Wow. Well, I would have never expected that to be the reason.
No. Oh, it's just... Also, in Con Air, the second of the trilogy... What trilogy?
What trilogy is that?
That's stellar, Tony. I can't, that's just stellar.
Paycheck. Mission Impossible
Paycheck.
2.
Paycheck, is that the one with...
Affleck?
Yeah, that one was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
It was kind of like playing one of the old LucasArts adventure games.
Oh shit, Aaron Eckhart was in that.
And Paycheck? Was he the bad guy?
I don't know. Redthrick? I don't know, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, I'm not sure. So was Colin Fiore. And Uma Thurman. Paul Giamatti. Michael C. Hall, Jesus.
Uma Thurman is a weird person. Because I don't think she's hot, but she's hot.
Yeah.
She's like that's gonna, I'm going to start calling things Uma Thurman face.
Yeah, because, like, in Pulp Fiction, she's not hot. But she's kind of hot. As Poison Ivy in Batman and Robin, she's not.
Something about it.
Gattaca. Same thing. I think Gattaca is partially the production value that put in that movie, where they tried to make everyone look just perfect.
Well, she wasn't genetically engineered, though. She was a normal person.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wasn't she?
Was she? I thought she was in the...
That's why she didn't launch. No, she wasn't. Welcome to Backseat Producers.
We don't know. Man, I feel really bad about making an Ang Lee Hulk joke.
Was it the Ang Lee of jokes?
It probably was.
Really inappropriate.
So what else did Ang Lee make? Now that I'm curious about Ang Lee.
He made Brokeback Mountain.
That was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
That was a great movie.
He made Life of Pi, which we watched the end of the other night. And after talking with Deuce, after reading Deuce's comments on it, I agree with him.
Which part?
About how it's... I think Deuce said, without saying, that the movie is anti-religious. Because he's like, yeah, you're going to harp on the whole religious aspect of the movie, but I think that's less of what that was. I'm pretty sure the movie is incredibly anti-religious.
I don't know if I can call it anti-religious, because it makes a case for belief.
It makes a case for believing a lie
because
to the truth.
Yes.
Because it sounds better and is what you want to hear.
Right. Which is fascinating because what's really fascinating about that is, depending on where your beliefs lie, I think it both makes a case for being religion positive,
yeah,
and makes a case for being anti-religion, depending on what you want to believe that it means. Because
then I'm choosing what I'm... Yeah.
Exactly! I think that is honestly the brilliance of that.
Never need to watch it again, and I'd be okay with it.
I kind of feel that way about both of them. I would rather watch Brokeback Mountain again.
Here's the thing about that. I really like Brokeback Mountain. I've watched portions of it and wish I hadn't.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a 3-hour movie.
Is it?
It's a long movie.
I know it felt long. Because the pace is...
glacial.
It is glacial. It needed to be to tell the story they were telling. It had to be slowly told. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes.
It felt like 3 hours.
Yeah, it did. I'll give you that. It did feel like 3 hours.
Like, an hour and a half in, I'm like, man, are these dudes going to do it more often? Because that was, so far, that was the best part. Face Off is like the anti-Die Hard.
Yeah?
You have a confusing protagonist that I don't like. Like, Archer is awful.
Archer is pathetic and broken.
Yeah, he sucks.
And
even when he's wearing Nicolas Cage's face, I still see... Which is actually kind of Nicolas Cage does a great John Travolta impression. John Travolta does a pretty good Nicolas Cage.
What was that stupid hand on the face thing also?
Oh.
Jesus Christ. That just annoyed the piss out of me.
It was so bad. Tony, they needed something.
Yeah, they needed an identifier.
They needed something else. Well, here's the thing, Tony. They couldn't use faces.
They had to take them off.
Yeah, they had to find something else. Trying to break a cable?
Brian, I got more of them.
No, I mean, you're...
Yeah.
See, this is the best part where I stop for 5 seconds and rearrange my hand
to play that one. It does sound distinctly different.
Yeah. It better.
You're breaking your goddamn hand for it.
I know. There's allegedly a way that you can do, like, this thing with your thumb and then, like, get your fingers all in a row.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, get your thumb on the last one, but I can't...
Like that?
Yeah, like, yeah. If I had a normal-sized thumb, I could do it, but there's no way we get this dinosaur thumb over there. But that would be my preferred method for doing it.
Yeah, so Face Off is a series of escalating strangeness. Like... Yeah. All the communication everybody has ever with anyone. Like there's a weird intensity through the first quarter of the movie that is there for no other reason to just get us as quickly as we can to cutting the face off. It's like, what are we doing? I don't know, but we're going to do it very quick and very intense because soon we're going to be cutting faces off.
Yeah, someone's face needs to be off in the first 10 minutes.
It's the title. It's the title of the movie. We need to get moving because we got to cut a face off.
And so then what I love about it is that, so instead of, hey, this face off thing is a weird thing, let us run every cliche, I'm a different person, but you don't know it thing. I mean, I guess that is kind of the movie, but it's not great.
The movie, the weird intensity and strange interactions are summed up best in the very last scene of the movie. Like, the things that happen for no reason at all, in the weirdest ways possible. I'm going to be standing around at home when my husband, who gets his face surgically put back onto his body, comes home. Nobody's going to pick him up from the hospital. No, that's not going to happen. He's just going to saunter back into the house.
Listen, face-off surgery is outpatient.
Not only does he just get to come back home, but we get the huge reveal that his daughter doesn't give a crap on her face anymore. So, oh man, that's a touching moment. We need to tear up for that one. But no, it gets better because he steps back and turns and waves on screen, young Adam, who, hey, I know I haven't talked to you guys about this, but I was thinking maybe
Adam could
come live here. And it's not going to be weird because we already have a room for a kid about his age.
Yeah, this is going to be weird. And it's like, hey, you know that scar from my dead kid? Can take that off now. I've replaced him.
I don't need that anymore. So it had been so long since I'd seen this movie that they go through the surgery and he's like, yeah, I want to get that back. I want to get my scar back. I was like, all right. Then Caster Troy gets Sean Archer's face put on his body and torches the place. Like, burns the place to the ground. My only thought at that point is, he's not going to get a scar back. Because it's been burned up. It doesn't exist anymore.
Well, hold on. Did they cut it off or did they just have it in a jar?
I don't know.
Why did they cut it off?
I don't understand that.
Like, what? Like, was his brother going to be inspecting his body?
Not only that, but did they do a cock replacement too?
They must have.
Because seriously, they're different. Dicks are different. They just are.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's a thing. We've been living together as husband and wife.
Here's the thing.
So I'm surprised they went there. I thought that was actually really good that they, like, they're like, yeah, we're going there. He's going to be banging his wife.
Yeah. 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 If they hadn't gone there, the movie would have fallen apart.
Yeah. That would have taken it to, that would have been a step too far.
That's weird. Take the scar off because somebody might see it. But my weird balls, like, that'll be fine. Just don't worry about that. And especially he bangs that one chick who's already banged him. So she already knows what his balls look like. That chick should have known. Harpoon gun, the boat chase, the explosions. What is going on?
Where did all the scars go? He cut his face up.
Yeah, where did this... Oh, they took off one scar. They could probably...
They probably just used that ray gun to seal up the scars. That ray gun that they used to heal the face as they put it back together?
They were probably... Like, the technology...
The technology was ridiculous.
The technology in that lab, like... I would probably watch a movie that was nothing but the ramifications of that tech... Like,
that'd be a great TV show.
Yeah, like, some whistleblower, like, releases all these documents, like, hey, the government has a cure for cancer and can heal all wounds.
Yeah.
See ya, I'm going to Russia. Like...
That's what Snowden should have released. He should have released the face-off technology.
Yeah.
That was his mistake.
Yeah. Hero. Made that guy president. Of course, then Breaking Bad loses something of its threat.
True.
So here's something shitty that's not related to face-off in any way, shape, or form. So True Blood is awful. But... of the season, last season, spoiler if you're watching True Blood, but deal with it, it's over for, been over for 2 weeks. So the end of the season, there's like this vampire syphilis that's going around, right? Yeah, no, it's stupid. The show is just piles and piles of terrible things on top of each other. But so like, what it's doing is it's creating these roaming bands of vampires who are desperate to not die, so they have to, like, feed, and so they're just feeding off the countryside and the people. But, like, before when they were doing it, they went out, and then the vampires kind of came out, and then they've kind of been cohabitating, but now they're out in these, like, rabid bands. It's kind of like vampire rabies.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sexually transmitted vampire rabies?
Yeah, kind of.
Awesome.
So, like, alright, so that's all really stupid. But, like, so the last half of the season finale was, like, the town getting together and they're like, hey, this is a serious problem, so here's what we need to do. I know there's a lot of animosity between the vampires and the humans, but everybody in town needs to invite a vampire into their home and cohabitate with them. You will feed them, they'll protect your house from these rabid vampires. I would probably watch a TV show where that was the entire premise of the show. Like, the like law in the United States has fault. Like, they can't stop the vampires. The only thing that can stop the vampires is other vampires. Because the rabid vampires are weaker than the normal vampires. I would probably watch a show where this was the premise.
Like, you could build a caste system based on the strength of the vampire.
Yeah.
So, like, the richest would hire the most powerful vampire.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a great
yeah.
modern allegory to the way our society is
yes.
run.
Yes! Like, there could be... Oh, I know True Blood's going to fuck it all up. It's going to be terrible, but... Damn it.
They need to put Ron Moore in charge of something like that.
Yes.
I'd be down for that.
Even when you fuck me in the end of Battlestar Galactica.
I still like the end of that. So, this whole... Alright, I'm not going to talk about much of this because that's not my point. But the whole Miley Cyrus bullshit.
Sure.
Alright, so... Came home from band practice and game night the other night. Julie's got the VMAs on. She's like, oh my god, you've got to see this ridiculous performance. So we watched it. It was like, yeah, great. She's nuts. So... Then people go crazy about
sure.
how she's dressed and how she's acting, and that. So I didn't know. I learned a lot about twerking the other day because I had heard the term and I kind of thought I knew what twerking was. Then I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Sure.
Apparently, it's been around for 20 years. Go figure.
Are you friends with Ashton?
No.
Ashton's from Louisiana.
Oh, okay. So and she knows.
She knows that's where it started.
Sure.
And Louisiana's pissed because, hey, this is our thing.
It is. Well, yeah, it's a New Orleans thing, apparently. It's
New
like
Orleans
part of the...
a black thing? I don't know.
It's like yeah, it's like a New Orleans rap, hip-hop thing. It's on the Wikipedia page. You can look it up.
I don't know. There was a lot of, like, this is sexist. This is racist. Oh, all right. I think you guys were missing the point. It's not offensive. It was just awful.
That's it. Yeah, see, that was my point.
There's no offense here. It's just terrible.
I said the most shocking thing about it was the fact that people were shocked that it happened on the VMAs.
It's like, you're watching the VMAs.
Well, shit like this happens all the time.
What?
Just happened.
That's Julie. I watched the VMAs.
Yeah, she's like, what are you two talking about? Somebody tweeted me. They probably heard my John Woo Ang Lee bullshit.
No, it's probably Julie saying, man, Adam's awesome guitar.
No, Luke is bitching that we're not streaming.
So I hear it. Tell him he brings his drums out here.
Then we all have to go sit in the high garage.
Even then, I still don't think that'll work.
So... Alright, everybody's all offended about this. Up in arms. She's a slut, whatever. So then, Julie's like, I need to watch my shows. And this morning, she's got one of her shows on. One of the ABC Family shows called Twisted.
Sure.
During the course of the episode that she's watching, this guy says something to this chick, and it pisses her off, and she's running into the arms of another man, who... I don't know the ages of most of these characters. The girl is still in high school. Clearly still in high school. So, 16, 17, probably. The house of the guy she goes to, he is clearly the only one living there, so he owns his own place. She jumps into his arms, throws herself at him, and they lip lock. Commercial break. They come back from the commercial break. These two are... obviously, in bed together, post-coitus.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, wait a minute, how is this more appropriate than what Miley Cyrus did? Because Miley Cyrus, you know what? She's 20 years old.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't feel like such a pedophile.
Yeah, she's 20 years old, so what? her dancing's weird.
Yeah,
she did the stripper grind on Alan Thicke's kid. Robin Thicke is Alan Thicke's kid, by the way.
It was dressed up as Beetlejuice.
That picture was fantastic. That was one of the greatest things that ever came out of it. I don't know why people are so upset about it.
It's just terrible. Like, well, this is no more terrible than, like, if you go to any, like, dance club, this is what's happening.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's terrible there. It's terrible in public.
Guess what? This has been happening in dance clubs for 30 years.
Yeah.
Probably. Like, at least.
Listen, this chick is famous.
You know what? She's rich. She's famous. She's having fun. She's making a lot of money. People are talking about her. Guess what? She wins at life.
that's the thing. Oh, well, she's setting a bad example.
Yeah. For who?
Exactly. She's a celebrity. That's what they do. This is not news. This is not new. This is not different.
Say, what's a good example in the celebrity world?
Yeah.
Really?
And I kind of feel like the example she's setting is, everybody tells me I should be doing this one thing, but I don't want to, and I'm going to do whatever I want. All right, sure.
Hey, you broke the Hannah Montana mold. Congratulations.
You did it.
You did it.
Well, even that, like, even with the arrests, she shouldn't be doing that. Who cares?
How does it affect you?
Yeah, why do you care?
If it honestly affects you, I don't think she's the one with the problem.
Yes. Yeah, just let her do what she wants. It's just like when you tell her not to do something.
I'm going to twerk on stage when we we sell out.
I know. When I talk to Luke, I just call him the twerker.
The twerk patrol.
I called him, hey, twerker, because I was like, I'd ask him something like, hey, twerker. And he's like, that's what I called Kim when she came in tonight.
new band name, Twerk Patrol.
Damn it. I had a band name in the car, and I was like, when I get the Jack in the Box drive-thru, I have to email it, otherwise I'm going to forget it.
Broken Urinal Cakes.
I think it was Kinnar and the Taint Lifters.
So that's what we should do. We should give an update as much as we can. I'm going to read through a few of the less offensive names that we came up with. Just today. There was a plethora of them today.
The Red Box.
Didn't see that one.
No, I just came up with that one.
Oh, the Red Box.
Tony, I was so tired.
You had a burly.
Yeah, I was racked with guilt about this thing that's happening at work. So I had to get there early because I couldn't sleep all night. And so I got in like 5. I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I don't want to be here.
Alright, so band names that were discussed within the last 13 hours. Bad Candy. The Diabetes Trio. Which, if Paul joins, there's actually 5 of us, which makes that even more hilarious.
Canceled threesome, still on the table.
Canceled threesome, still. I think it works even better.
The more people, the better.
That's racist. Alternately, I thought of this when I did not propose it. The Rat Racists.
I did think the Taint Lifters.
The Taint Lifters is always a good option, especially now that Paul's in the group. Head Tattoo. Alternatively, Unemployable. Docking Sequence.
Docking Sequence was good.
Shitty Buddhist.
Upper I don't Decker know why Clyde inspired so many today.
Upper Decker the Urinal. White Van, which I responded, but I apparently only responded to Paul with Whit Evan. The Tub Girls. The Arizona Lemon Parties. The Sleepy Petes. The Old Work Boots. The Little to the Lefts. The Half half-finished sex act.
I like that one because it tells a story.
And going with a Cards Against Humanity theme, half-assed foreplay. It's fun to watch.
We attempted to do...
It's goofy.
We attempted to do a riff track of it, and we couldn't, because we just started watching it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do?
You have to, like, research it and find out why they did things they did. Otherwise, there's really no...
Like, there's no joke you're going to make that's funnier than what's already on the screen.
No.
Tony, right there.
Whoa. The script, as presented to director John Woo, was set in the future, but Woo suggested changing the setting to the present to focus on the dramatic and psychological of the story. The boat chase at the end of the film was originally intended for Hard Target. In The Rock, Nicolas Cage's character says he drives a beige Volvo. After escaping from prison, Archer, Cage, steals a beige Volvo. Also in Con Air, the second of the trilogy, Cameron Poe, Cage, drops the dead body of Pinball from the airplane, and it falls onto a beige Volvo. The name for the floating prison, Erewhon, is a simple anagram of nowhere.
They got me with that.
The choir in one of the scenes is a non-profit charity choir based in L.A.
That he, like, molests?
Yeah. It was weird. Cage action movies in a row to feature in a finale in which he is flung through the air involving an explosion. Originally, Schwarzenegger and Stallone were in mind to play the lead roles.
What?
But when Woo was brought in to direct, he decided that John Travolta and Nicolas Cage would be more suited to the roles. Wow.
What is happening?
Sean Archer, Sagittarius the Archer, one of the constellations of the zodiac, is diametrically opposite from the constellation Gemini. Castor and Pollux are two major stars in the constellation Gemini. In Greek mythology, Castor and Pollux are twins also.
Yeah, they're twins.
And Pollux is the one that lives. Castor dies.
It's really annoying. There's some movie where there's a character named Castor Pollux, and I can't remember what it is.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Every time I hear it, I'm like, that's a Face-Off reference. Only it's not actually a Face-Off reference.
No.
But I kind of think that Face-Off is more culturally significant than Greek mythology.
I suppose we should mention that Fat Beans McGee got fired.
He did. Well, bastard. Here's the thing. Deuce took him out for a year, and he hasn't been back since. I read this article today about some guy talking about leadership, about how, like, upper management will usually prefer the guy who sugarcoats things instead of the guy who tells them how it is.
So, life of pie.
Kinda, yeah. So, most of the article was about that, which was really boring. But he used The Godfather as his frame of reference.
Really?
Where, yeah, like, so the beginning of the movie, what's his face?
Michael?
No, Tom.
Oh,
God damn it.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? Shit. I'm going to think of it later. Anyway, so he's like, you know, don't beat around the bush. Just tell the Don the bad news. He's the kind of guy who doesn't like to do whatever, right? So he's like, yeah, so leaders should be more like this. And so he links the scene where, like, Sonny's just been shot and what's-his-face is sitting downstairs. Like, and he's having a drink. And so he walks in. He's like, so are you here to tell me what's going on with this? He's like, yeah, I needed a drink before I came with her and told you. So you've had your drink. What the shit's happening? Your son was shot and killed on the freeway. All right, so this war ends now. Get everybody together. And then, like, he goes over and he comforts that guy. He's like,
Tom Hagen.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's not the guy's name, like the actor's name.
Robert Duvall.
There it is, Bobby D. Damn it.
The other Bobby D.
The other Bobby D, yeah. So he linked that scene, like the YouTube of that scene, and I was like, God damn, this was such a good goddamn movie.
Such a good movie.
What's the next song you're going to learn, Tony?
I don't know. It's probably going to be one of those two. I'm not sure which one. Renegade and see what its baseline looks like. Third string down. What? What the shit? I don't play the third string. I only play two strings. What the hell? What the hell's Luke doing to me?
Difficulty. Call it.
Man, this is like playing guitar here, going from easy to medium.
Yeah, we have to use the third button.
Yep, that's right. God damn it. Oh, this is awesome. Listen to that notation. Play faster than this.
That's some good stuff.
That's nice.
The videos, I find, are much better.
Yeah.
I should probably start looking at some videos, too. Do you use Songster at all?
No. Is that the place that has the sheet music?
It's got sheet music, but you can, like... It's... You can play it right from... You hit play and
we'll use it from now on.
It's probably got this release like MIDI or something. But you have to sign up for the service.
That's fine.
You get to pay for the service.
I don't know. I've gotten to the point now where the videos are good, but I kind of I'd rather just have the sheet music, to be honest with you.
That's. I would like the sheet music, but what's really helping the most. It's like, I work out the patterns. Once I get the patterns down, then I try to play along with the song. Because that's really the only way I can do it. Because I have to get the tempo. Without that, I'm just...
Yeah, that's problematic.
And I don't know if that's right or not. That could be right.
The same thing over and over until I get it.
That's how Dean Koontz writes a book.
What?
That's how Dean Koontz writes a book. Seriously. His
I've never read any of his books.
I like his books. They're light. But the way he writes a book, he writes page one. Then he rewrites page one. Then he rewrites page one. Then he rewrites page one. Until he has the perfect page one. Then he writes page two.
Ew.
Yeah. That's weird to me. But again, I've never finished a novel. So, there's that. I have 30,000 words.
I put all of my creative energy into a guitar this year.
Mine's gonna split. I'm thinking actually, because work is gonna be hellacious leading up to me leaving. Then it's gonna be hellacious finally after. Probably into early November. I think I might not
quit the band for a month.
No. Come on. Let's not talk crazy. No, I think what I might do is participate in the pace of NaNoWriMo. Just to crank out 50,000 words a month. Because if I write 10,000 words...
A lot of support during that time.
And that's just it. If I can crank out 10,000 words during September, 10,000 words during October, that should put me at 50,000 words. I've been pacing this album out to be about 100,000 words long the first year. I can be finished at the end of the year. And even if I slip and it goes through December... That's not bad. I'm done at the end of the year.
Is that your goal of the year?
I would like to be done with this novel. Yeah, I'd like to be done,
like to be done
with
this novel.
I would like to be done with the first draft at the end of the year. Because I know there's so much that I'm going to be doing in the editing stage. Because I really like the story. But I know where I need to fix things that I'm already... Like, what I've written before is not going to work. So I'm going to change it, but I'm not going back. I'm not changing it until I...
Got to leave that as the reward for finishing.
Yep. Because I like editing. I know a lot of people that like bitch and fuss about editing. And I like it. That's where the magic happens. That's where I take a big fat pile of shit and turn it into an actual story.
I actually liked that gunfight scene with the kid with the headphones on. I actually liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was okay.
That was clever. Like, the way they changed the music up to kind of match the headphones. Listen to your music. Tell me what time is it? 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock. How long have we been doing this?
Long enough.
Long enough? Torturing people long enough?
We actually didn't play it with this song.
I don't know what the licensing issues are with that.
We're not really playing it with this.
I think...
People have got the taste, they know what that song is. They should.
You'll have to see us in concert.
That's right. Just a taste. That song was actually Last Drink at Sausage Fest. That's not Mary Jane's Last Dance. It's kind of like the difference between Under Pressure and Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah.
I used to work with a guy. A couple years ago, but he was like 19, just a savant. They hired him out of high school to code. It's just, kid's brilliant, super smart, too smart for his own good, kind of, but socially conscious. Because, like, he was homeschooled and both of his parents were programmers. And, yeah, I mean, it's just. Incredibly bright guy. So we always passed around links at work, and somebody sent him the link to the video Ice Ice Baby. His first response was, "This is a parody, right?" No, Zach, it's not. With less guitar.
Probably zero guitar, would be my guess.
See ya. Oh, wait. Sausage Fest. Donate. SausageFestSTL.com.